We welcome you today as we continue in our series called More Than Just a Story. And for the next few weeks or so, we're going to be looking at some of the parables that Jesus told as he performed his public ministry. And our text for today is found in Luke chapter 7. And we want to look at verses 40 through 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 40 through 50. And it reads as follows. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, change us, make us to be what you would have us to be, to the end that these your people are built up in the faith and you are satisfied and glorified from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Debt. It can be a cure or it can be a blessing. It depends on which side of the fence that you're on. If you are the lender, it can be the biggest blessing you've ever had in your life. If you are the lendee or the debtor, it can be the worst nightmare you've ever had in your life. There is an interesting phenomenon that goes on in this country, and it's called a little piece of plastic, and it has a lot of names on it, American Express, MasterCard, Visa, and it's called a credit card. And the way it works is when you apply for it, they give you a limit that you can spend. Now, in theory, is that when you use it, you're borrowing someone else's money, and they give you 30 days to pay it back. If you do not pay it back inside 30 days, then that's where the blessing comes in from the person who gave you the card. It's called interest. And it starts accruing on your balance. And there's all kinds of little things that are neat about these cards if you pass them out, because one of the things you do is you test people's eyesight. Because you've got the print, then you've got the smaller print, then you've got the little tiny print, and then you put it in a little folder and you have lots of pages which you know no one's going to read, and it says such things as this. If you are late on your credit card, and we gave you an introductory rate of 7.9%. If you are late, then even by one day, we can raise your interest rate. And in some cases, it can go from 7.9 to 27.9 in a day because you're late. And then there's another little game that says, well, we know you didn't have any money to begin with, so we're going to help you out. Because, you know, we know you can't pay it all back at one time. So what we're going to do is we're going to take it and divide it up into little payments, and you just pay us a little something every month. And the theory is you'll get it paid off. Now, the reality is if you decide that you're just going to pay the minimum payment, then you are going to be in debt for the rest of your life. Because it's designed that the minimum payment is never as much as it's going to take, that when you add the interest to the monthly payment, that it's going to get you on the downside of paying it off as opposed to the upside of building it up. And what they will do is, if you get one credit card, everybody else finds you got one, and they all send you applications and say, you're qualified. Hey, we'll give you $1,000 on this one, and we'll give you the gold card and $5,000 on this one. And some people, their motto when they go shopping is not charge, but charge it! And there are a lot of people in this country that are in debt thousands of ten thousands of dollars because they have used their credit cards to pay things off, supposedly, or to buy things that if it was an analogy between you sitting down to eat and your eyes and your stomach, my mother always said, don't let your eyes be bigger than your stomach. Which means you look at all that stuff when you go to Duff's and it's a smorgasbord, all you can eat, and you just come back with three plates, mounded, heaped, heavy, and full, and you know you're not that hungry because you only ate breakfast an hour ago. So it's the whole idea that we live in a culture that says, hey, you need meat. Hey, you want this. And you can have it if you have a little credit. So we got people who are up to here, and are swimming in debt because they're overextended. And that's my thought for us to think about today, and I want you to think with me on this thought, because we're going to make an analogy. Help! I'm in debt, and I can't get out. They used to have a commercial on TV that there was an older person who was in their home, and they fell. And they used to say, help! I've fallen, and I can't get up. Well, there are plenty of people walking around today who are saying, help! I'm in debt, and I can't get out. There are people in this church that do not owe a dime. One is because they've lived long enough to pay it off. There are people in this church who don't owe a dime. That's because they've never gone into debt. There are people in this church who are in debt because they didn't believe what the first two sets thought or did. They went into debt, and they haven't paid it off, or they never decided to wait and pay for it without charging it. Help! I'm in debt, and I can't get out. Jesus is in his second year of ministry, which is the year of popularity, and it was in his second year that he started telling parables. And he told parables all the way down to the very day before he died. So he was always telling stories, and as I told you last week, what is a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And if you've all got a nose on your face, which from what I can see everybody does, that's how plain most of his stories are. But as I told you, a lot of times, everything in the story represents something else. So Jesus says, Simon, I've got something to say to you. And he says, well, okay, fire away. The setting is Jesus has just a day or two before healed the widow of Nain's son, so he's raised the dead, and he's on his way through Galilee, and Simon the Pharisee says to Jesus, hey, why don't you come over to my house? And the question is, why did he actually invite him over his house? You know, when everybody invites you over to their house, the Bible says, be careful what you eat and what you drink. Because it could be that they have ulterior motives for why they invited you over to dinner. And those of you who invited me to dinner, I told you my little story about my mother's warning about, do not eat seconds when someone invites you to their house. I thought she didn't know what she was talking about, and I got invited over to a young lady's house, and I sat down and ate with her and her mother, and they said, would you like more? We were having tacos, and I said, sure. So two more sisters came down, and the mother and the daughter got up, and they had their first helping, and I had my second, and they said, would you like some more? And I said, wow, this is really great. Sure! So I had my third helping, and they got up, and the father sat down, and he had his first helping, and I had my third, and he said, would you like some more? And I said, oh, no, I think I've had enough. So I took my friend to church the next day and came back, and I was sitting in the living room, and I heard this conversation wafting out of the kitchen, and it was her mother. And this is what her mother said. I am never having him back over here in my house again. And my friend said, shh, Mom, he's in the living room. He can hear you. To which her mother said, I don't care if he's in the living room or if he hears me. Anybody that comes in my house and eats like a hog, I am not having them back over here for dinner. And my mother's words came to my mind. someone invites you to their house and they ask you if you want seconds, be polite and say no. Now I understand why she said what she said. So, you know, sometimes when people invite you to their houses, but you all don't do that here, they have reasons for wanting you there. Sometimes it's to find out more things about you that they can use against you. So we don't really know why Simon, because the Pharisees weren't on Jesus' best friends list because they were considered his enemies. But anyway, he invites him over and they're sitting down eating, and this prostitute comes in, a woman of the evening, a woman of ill repute, a woman with a reputation. And what she does is she goes over to where Jesus is, and they didn't sit down like we do. They reclined at a low table, and she washed his feet with her tears. She was crying. And then she dried his feet with her hair. And she had this vase of expensive ointment, and she poured it on his feet to refresh them. And Simon is, you know, watching all this because, you know, he doesn't say anything to the woman, but he's kind of like noticing. And so Jesus doesn't really seem to be paying attention to the woman. And, you know, he's like saying, well, you know, do you know who this woman is? Do you know what she does? You actually going to let her touch you? If you knew what I knew about this woman, you'd tell her to get away from you. You're not that kind of a man, and you know she's that kind of a woman. Well, Jesus doesn't say anything. And so Jesus says, well, let me tell you, I've got something to say to you. And he says, well, what is it you have to say? And he says, well, there was a certain man. He was a creditor, and he had two guys that he'd loaned money to. And the translation of the word pence is the Roman word denarii, which is a Roman coin. And basically, in those days, it was about a day's worth of wages. You got a denarii for working a day. So one guy had 50 days worth of wages, which is about 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And maybe 8 weeks, and the other guy, he had 500. So he'd had at least a year and a half wages that he'd been given. Well, you've heard the phrase, you can't get blood out of a turnip. Mainly because there is no blood in a turnip, so there's no sense in trying to get it out because it's not in there. And that's the same thing with people who come up and borrow stuff. My policy is you never give something to somebody that wants to borrow it that you're expecting to get back or you're going to need. If you're going to need it, and you're going to give it to them with the idea that they're going to give it back to you, you're setting yourself up for a lot of things. One of them is hard feelings, misunderstanding, anger, and disappointment. Because if you don't have it, Sister Beverly, and you're asking me for it because you know I got it, well, obviously you didn't have it to give me in the first place. So I don't know when I'm expecting for you to give it back when you didn't have nothing to get it with in the first place. And that was the problem with these two young men. They didn't have the pot or the rest of it. So, you know, the way it works is you set up terms. Roger, I need to borrow $5,000 from you. Okay, Roger says, and when do you think you can pay it back? I can pay it back to you in 6 months. So today would be the 6th of August. 6 months from now would be the 6th of February. So come the 6th of February, you'll have your money. February 6, 2007 comes, and Roger kind of clears his throat, holds out his hand, and I shake it and say, how you doing? And he's looking, his hand's as empty as mine is, and I'm kind of like, is there something wrong? He goes, well, there's nothing wrong, but do you know what today is? Oh, yeah. It's a week before Valentine's Day. Is there a problem? Well, do you remember what you asked me 6 months ago? I think we're talking about how hot it was in July, weren't we? And you had that big trip down to Washington, D.C., and you were out there walking on... No, that's not what we were talking about. I kind of hate to tell you this, but I don't have it. Now, this is an amazing thing about the creditor, because what he says is, he says, hey, boys, you don't have it? Don't worry about it. Just cancel it. Right, zero, paid in full, you don't owe me a thing. And one looks at the other and says, what did he say? I think he said he's letting us off the hook. You're kidding, right? No. Strings? No strings. Cut them all. No strings attached. Clear and free, you're free to go. Don't worry about it. Glad I can help you out. Now, if I was the guy that had been told that I was off the hook, how do you think I'd feel? And it was only 50 denarii, 50 days worth of wages. Woo! My wife is going to be happy when I get home.
And the guy that had bought the 500 said, well, you think your wife's going to be happy? My wife's going to be shouting when I get home because, woo, honey! So Jesus asked the question, as he tells the story, he says, now which of these do you think would feel the most gratitude toward the man that loaned him the money? Well, he said, well, the one that owed him the most because he had the biggest debt. He says, that's correct. And here's where Jesus goes around to make his point. Because, you know, Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. He knows that we're thinking before we think it. Nothing takes him by surprise. And he knew who the woman was. He knew what she did. He knew what her problem was. So now he's going to make a point. And his point is one of the things in Eastern culture was is hospitality. And they did it a little different than we do it here because they didn't wear shoes. They didn't drive cars. They walked up and down the road. And you know that if it's like the road that Dee used to live on, which isn't that way anymore, it was a hot, dusty, dirt, gravel road. So when you came out with your little robe on, because you didn't wear socks, and you tromped around all day, your feet got dirty. Well, when you came into Mary Eleanor's house, one of the things she would do was she'd come out with a basin and some water, and you'd wash the dirt off your feet. And, you know, she might give you a little kiss. How you doing? Let me give you a little sugar. Yeah, you're feeling better already. I mean, somebody's giving you some love, somebody's washing your feet, and she says, well, here, let me make you feel better. Takes a little oil, rubs it on you, and whew, the feet is hot and dry and dusty out there, and you know, you're starting to crack and look a little rough, and she kind of lubricates you up there, and I was in a race in Columbus, and one of the things they gave us in our little pack was this little bottle of lotion, and it says it's to refresh you. So what happens is after you take your shower and you get all the smell off, you put this lotion on, and it's got ointments and herbs in it, and you put that on, and you get the tingle it and the smell it, and you just feel good. I'm ready to run another race. So that was the way this oil was. It was designed to make you feel better. Well, Simon invited Jesus over, and he didn't do anything. He just said, come over at 5 o'clock, and we'll have supper. So Jesus says, you know, this woman, she did something you didn't do. She washed my feet. She dried them with her hair. She kissed my feet. And she put some ointment on him. You didn't do any of that stuff. And he said, you know what? Her sins are forgiven. Now, he wasn't alone at the table because he was sitting with other people. And they're all saying, sins are forgiven. The only person that can forgive sins is God. Who does this guy think he is? And that's the point of this lesson is, who does Jesus think he is, and why is he telling this story? Because I want to ask us this question. What is the debt that you and I owe God? What do you and I owe God? We owe God a debt that we can never pay. The Bible says we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and the meter's been running since the day we were born. So, a person that has lived 8 years, and a person that has lived 80 years, there's a difference in the amount of sins that they've committed because one's had more time to do more things wrong. And his point is this. When someone takes care of your problem, how do you feel? When someone takes care of your debt, how do you feel? Debt, they often draw a picture of a person with a burden on their back. And the bigger the debt, the bigger the burden. And people are all bowed down, bent down, barely struggling with the load. And the longer you live, the bigger and heavier the load gets so that you can barely make it. And someone comes along and says, here, let me help you. Let me take the load off of you and I'll carry it for you. Have you ever been under a big strain or trying to pick up something and when you put it down, you just feel relief? Whew. That's the way it is when we come to Jesus Christ. We've got a thing called sin that's been in our lives since the day we were born, and Jesus Christ comes and says, here, let me help you with that. You owe a debt, I'll take care of it. The bigger the debt, the bigger the gratitude. And so we who have been saved a long time have a big reason to be thankful to God for what He did for us way back then. Those of us who are of age and have been saved a short time feel a greater sense of relief. I know a lady who told me, she said she came to Jesus Christ as an adult, and she was so thankful as an adult because she realized all those years she'd been living in sin, and to think that Jesus Christ forgave her for everything she had done, is doing, and will do. And when she looked at her life and she realized that it was not in the will of God and what an ungodly life it was and how God had turned her around and changed her, she just felt a love. And he says, who loves, who's grateful more? And he says, the guy who had the bigger debt. The person who has more sins would feel a lot more grateful when they come out of those sins than somebody who hadn't sinned much at all. And you see, Jesus knows all about us. And simply this, what was it that saved the woman? It was her faith in who Jesus was that saved her. Because she believed that he was the one that had the power to forgive sins. What is it that saves you and I? It's our faith that we come to have in Christ because we realize he's the one that can save us. This story is full of contrast. You look at Simon. He was a goody two-shoes because he wasn't running around being a prostitute, selling himself. But his problem was, he had sins of the spirit. His attitude wasn't right. His mind wasn't right. He didn't love like he should love. The woman, first with the sins of the flesh. She was a prostitute. Enough said. You know what she did. He showed no hospitality. Here was a woman who didn't even know Jesus who showed more hospitality than the man who invited him into his house. How would it be if you invite me into your house and you come over and cook the meal? And you come over and clean up. And you're just sitting there yakking and talking about how great things are. And you know, and I'm thinking, well, I thought this was your house. But you're the one doing all the work like you live there. There's something wrong. Why is it she's shown hospitality and you act like you can't even spell the word? Now, none of this is true between these two, but I'm just using them as examples. Jesus says the love is comparative. It's simply the fact that the more the sin, the more the debt, the more the love. Not to say that one love is greater than the other. He's just comparing the fact that if you've got more sins compared to somebody that doesn't have as many sins, yes, you would feel a greater love. Doesn't mean your love is any bigger or any deeper. It just means you feel more grateful because there's more to feel grateful about. And here's the thing. The woman loved the Savior for forgiving her of her sin. And her love is the proof that she was forgiven. It's not the cause of her loving. It's the proof of her love. She loved because of what had happened. She loved to prove that what had happened meant something to her. So when we come to Christ, how do we feel? We feel grateful. We feel thankful. We love him. And we do what we do as an expression of our love. We just finished the book of James. And you know, so why was she doing what she was doing? Because she loved the Lord. She wasn't trying to win him over or get brownie points or to say how great she was. She was doing what she was doing because it was a way of showing her love for what he had done for her. You know, in James chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, we talked about faith and works. How can a man say he has faith if he doesn't have works? Show me your works and I'll show you my faith, because it's the same coin, it's two sides. You can't have one without the other. People don't come in here and do all kinds of stuff in the church, work at vacation Bible school, teach Sunday school, help with the ice cream socials, help with the big to-do in the fall, just busy, busy, busy. We're not in there trying to get brownie points. If you're not in here doing it because you love the Lord, then go home and sit down. Because it may mean something to you, but it doesn't mean anything to God. And the reason why we work for Christ is because we love him for what he has done for us. So the problem with Simon was, he didn't think he needed to be saved. He didn't think he had a problem. He didn't think he had any sin. But he thought the woman had plenty of sins, and he knew what was wrong with her. But when he looked in the mirror, he didn't see anything. And that's the challenge to you and I today. When you and I look in the mirror, who do we see? Do we see the woman who knew she was a sinner, or do we see Simon the Pharisee who thought he had no sin? Jesus came, Romans says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care about your background. I don't care about your pedigree. I don't care about your family. I don't care about your education. You can have all of that. And the Bible says, unless you've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, you can walk out of this door, fall down dead, and you're going to hell. Because if we have not accepted the fact that we are sinners and we have a problem that we cannot take care of ourselves, we need to come to somebody that can do something about it, and they say that's why there's an empty cross, because Jesus not only got up on the cross, He died upon the cross, and He died for you, and He died for me, but that was not the end of the story. They said that they took Him down and put Him in a borrowed tomb on the first day of the week. On the third day, they came to check Him out. They came to refresh His body. They came to anoint Him, and the tomb was empty. And the reason why it was empty was because He says, I will rise again. And the reason why He said He was going to rise again was because He was going to pay the debt for you and I called sin. Help! I'm in debt and I can't get out. You and I need somebody to help us to get out of the sin debt that we owe God. And I'm telling you today, His name is Jesus Christ. Verse 49 said, who is this that forgiveth sins? His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. And that's why He came. And you see what happened to this woman was, He says to her, your sins have been forgiven, they are forgiven, what's done is done, it's all paid for, there's nothing else to be held to your account. He says, go and live in peace. People that owe money sometimes don't sleep well. People that owe money have big problems in their marriages because they're dealing with something that they can't handle. And it's the same thing with sin. If you've got sin in your life, and I've got sin in my life, until we bring it to somebody who can do something about it, it's going to gnaw at us, it's going to eat at us, it's going to wear away, and eventually it will destroy us. But we should be like the woman, who is so grateful because of what God has done, that she's willing to show by the things that she does, how great her love is for God. There's a song in our hymnal, and I just want to share a word of it with you, and it goes like this. Jesus paid it all. You see, help, I'm in debt, and I can't get out. And the debt that we have is a debt of sin. And Jesus Christ came to take care of the problem that we could not take care of ourselves. So if there's a man, a woman, a boy here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, we're going to give you an opportunity to do something about that. Jesus paid it all.